Hallelujah. Let's bless him. Let's bless him. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you glory and honor and praise. Thank you. Thank you. Father God, we echo that song and say, may everything we do be a praise to you. May our lives honor you. May what we do honor you. May it be a praise up to you. Hallelujah. May we never bring a reproach or displease you, but may our hearts always be focused and attentive and our affections on you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for inhabiting the praises of your people tonight. Thank you for your presence. It's what we came here for. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy every day. It's new every single morning. So we thank you for mercy tonight. We thank you for goodness tonight. Teach us by the Holy Ghost within each one of us tonight. Father God, may our lips be as the pen of a ready writer, ready to speak your words tonight. Give us unction, give us utterance, clarity, direction, precision in the Holy Ghost. Father God, to minister to these, your people, to help this church catapult to the next level, for individuals to catapult to the next level. Father God, we thank you for the words that you have spoken, and we know that you are able to confirm everything that you have said. It will come to pass. We declare it out of our mouths because we agree with the words that you have already spoken. It will come to pass. So, Father God, do your part tonight. We are here, ready, willing, open, and our hearts are tender toward you tonight. We thank you for your word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Get all these little switches turned off and on. Thankful to be wireless. At least we're not running around with wires all over us, but they're hanging off of us, you know. Sometimes I feel like Batman, and he had that big utility belt on, you know. I'm feeling empowered tonight is what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. You're in the right place at the right time. Amen. And so we're going to get the right word from heaven tonight. Isn't that right? Glory to God. Pastor mentioned our impartation table. Let me tell you about a few things. Kevin has a CD called Awesome God. Features this trumpet on every song. This won't put you to sleep. this is more like you'll think it's the rapture on a few songs. Amen. But we've always said this, and I think you can already testify yourselves, even just meeting us, really, some of you for the first time. But Kevin plays his trumpet with his preaching anointing. Yeah. Amen. He's not just a musician, you know, neither am I. What we do, everything we do it with our whole heart. And we endeavor to minister to people, not just to entertain people. And so it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. And so you'll find that on this CD. Praise God. Every song, there are some background vocals and things like that, but it features the trumpet on every song, and you'll want to get a hold of that. And then we have a couple of things that are a little bit newer. This is a single CD. We also have this available on DVD if you'd rather watch than just listen. This is called All In. Everybody say All In.
All In.
Well, there's poker chips on the front. Don't anybody get mad at me. But the expression All In, you know, you've heard is a gambling term, right? Well, why do people go All In? It's because they believe what they have beats everything else on the table. They believe they have the winning hand. How many of you believe we've got the winning hand? Amen. What we have, what God's given us, is greater than anything the devil's got. Amen. So if that is true, and it is, then why would we hold anything in reserve? Why would we want to control our lives? Why would we want to say, God, I'll give you part, but not everything? Amen. We need to go all in with our whole heart. Amen. One example we use here in the CD is there was a king who, when Elisha was about to die, the king called for him. He knew that Elisha was about to pass on. And so he says, do you have anything for me? Have you got words for me? You know, I need you. And Elisha told the man of God to take his arrows. And he said, now strike the ground. Well, first he said, this is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. He said, shoot it out the window, you know. And he shot it out the window. And then he said, pick up the arrows. And he hit, said, hit the ground. Well, he's like, okay. And he hit it three times. And the Bible says the man of God was wroth. He was ticked. Yeah. Why? He said, you should have kept hitting the ground. You should have done it at least five or six times. I told you this is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Now hit the ground with it. And so he says, this way, now you're only going to overtake or you're only going to win over your enemies three times where you could have done it forever. See, Pastor last night was saying, what does running have to do with anything? I don't know. God said, do it. Yeah, right. Amen. He said, if God said, do cartwheels, and I won't say the rest of it, go on the road. You were here, you heard it. I prefer not to. But if he said to, we'd do it, wouldn't we? Amen. Why? Because we're all in. The only reason we don't yield to those things is because we think I can figure it out on my own, or I don't need to do that to get this. You don't know you don't need to do that to get this. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll just preach the impartation table tonight. How's that? We had a man who promised us a truckload of money. Let me put it that way. He promised us. He was in a meeting that we were in, and he ministered to us by words of the Lord in one sense, and then also he said, the Lord told me to start supporting your ministry on a quarterly basis or a semi-annual basis, something like that. And then he got together with us, and he promised us $100,000 a year for 5 years. How many of you'd like that? That's a blessing, isn't it? Praise God. Well, he never did it. This was many, 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 many years ago already, and he never did it. We had an opportunity to meet with him a couple of years after he had said that. We went to Trinidad where he was, and we sat across the table from him. And I'm telling you, in the meantime, there's a whole testimony, actually. There's two CDs out on the table called You Could Be a Faith Giant If You Only Had a Shout, where Kevin shares this testimony on there, what God did with us. In the meantime, I'm telling you, God blessed us amazingly without his help, that guy's help. Amen. I mean, we got revelation on some things. God taught us some things. We will never be the same. We are better, 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 better off. Amen. Now, we had an opportunity to sit across the table from this man and tell him our testimony. Because you didn't do what you said, this is what happened for us. However, what was God trying to get to you? Right? Kevin said, do you believe God told you to do it? He said, yes, I do. Still, to that day. He said, but some things happened where I couldn't do what I said I was going to do. Well, things happen all the time. God requires faith. Amen. If he had given, what might God have done? I mean, this guy's already a millionaire. We said, what was God trying to get to you? Because when God tells you to sow, it's not just so that our needs are met or just so the church's needs are met, although that is the system that God uses. Amen. He uses people to help one another. We all have a supply. And so that's what he uses. Amen. I mean, it's all over the New Testament how we help one another in that way. Let him who is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches. Amen. Why should a man go to war at his own expense? Different things like that. But the purpose of your giving is not just to supply another's need. The purpose of your giving is to supply your need, so that God can supply, because he said what in Luke chapter 6? Give, and it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shake it again. I mean, God doesn't just give you back what you gave. It would be good enough if you just gave and he just evened you out again. You're just like, no loss. Amen? Didn't lose anything. Gave, and look, it came back. But God doesn't do it that way. He says, if you give, I'll give it back to you in abundance. So if we really believe that, if we were all in, amen, then we'd be hitting the ground till he said stop. Or we'd be given and given and given, amen. So this kind of reveals to us that maybe we're not all in. Amen. And we're all at different levels and different stages in different areas as well. Some people, you'll jump all in one area and maybe not in another yet. Amen. But the point is, praise God, that we, whatever we do by faith, we do with all our might. Amen. We do what he says to do, when he says to do it, with all our might. And the miracles are on the other side of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. God always shows up, always confirms his word. Amen. Praise God. But not until we do our part. Boy, wouldn't we like to see what's on the other side of that thing we're supposed to do. Oh, my goodness. Lord, if you just show me what this means, I'll do it. Well, then we wouldn't be walking by faith. We'd be walking by sight. And I'll tell you what, once you get involved in the faith life, once you really surrender to the life of faith, the adventures are amazing. Amen. Our pastor put it this way. He said, if it's not fun, it's not faith. Faith isn't supposed to torture you. Amen. The life of faith isn't meant to torture you. I'm just going to dangle things and just see if you'll have faith. No. If you really trust God, there's no reason not to have fun. Amen. But there are unknowns as far as what's going to happen. I know God's coming through, but I don't know how he's going to do it, right? Those are the things that freak us out a little bit. How's he going to do it this time? I know he's going to do it, but how is he going to do it, right? And Kevin and I are going through some things right now that is just faith and patience. Faith and patience. And it would freak some people out right now where we're at. Some people would just, we were talking about it today, some of our family members would be just, you know, full of anxiety if they were in our situation. But we're just going, God, this is going to be so awesome. Praise God. It's been fun just to relax and trust him. Amen. Why? He's always come through. David said this, I was young. And now I'm old. I'm not going to admit that part yet. I'm on my way. I plan on being old before I leave here. Amen. Glory to God. But he said, but I've been around the things of God now for some time, so I can say it with great confidence. As David did, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never, never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging bread. Never. Never. Glory to God. We can trust him. Amen. He is absolutely reliable. All in. You want to get it. It's only $5. Change your life. Another thing that'll change your life. This changes everything. This is about the love of God. God's love to you as his child. We know that God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. Something happens after we get born again. Sometimes we think, I know God loves the world, but does he really love me? After all, I should know better. I should do better. I should be better. Well, how many of you know who is the accuser of the brethren? It's not God. God doesn't accuse Christians. Who does? The devil. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. The devil's not out condemning the world. Christians are doing that. You didn't hear me. I said, the devil's not even out condemning the world. Christians are condemning the world. Amen. That's not our job. Hello. Amen. It's our job to love the world just like God does. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the one who condemns us is the enemy. It's not God. Praise God. You need to know how much God loves you. Hallelujah. It'll absolutely change your life. And we need to know it and believe it, because the Bible says we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Sometimes we know it, we don't really believe it. And I'll tell you, every opportunity we have to know something, make a choice to believe it. Amen. We have a family member who has a phrase she often uses, and she'll say, "I want to believe that. I want to believe that." Even if it's something you say, just in you know, we're going to do this. Oh, I want to believe that. Well, it's just almost faith. You know, it sounds promising, doesn't it? I want to believe that. I just want to go, well, then why don't you? Just throw caution to the wind and just believe me. You know, sometimes it's just, we love you. I want to believe that. Okay, then believe it. Because you're really just wasting your own time not believing it. Right? And so the things of God, don't just want to believe them. Oh, wouldn't it be good if it was true? Oh, if it was only true. Oh, if it was only true. It is true. Why? He is truth. In him is no shadow of turning. Glory to God. No variableness. He's not up and down and changing his mind. His truth is absolute all the time. He doesn't contradict himself. Amen. Glory to God. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. When he calls us and equips us, he doesn't change his mind and go, "Oh, I made a mistake. You're right. You don't qualify. You're not worthy. What was I thinking?" Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Isn't he good? Praise the Lord. I'm not going to do a 45-minute intro tonight. That was my intro right there. Praise the Lord. Why don't you open your Bibles with me tonight? I loved Kevin's intro last night, didn't you? Became his whole message. Hallelujah. He's my favorite preacher. Glory to God. Are we blessed or what? Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, the 4th chapter. Matthew chapter 4. Boy, does God love family church. Amen. He really does, I'll tell you. His hand is on this plan. Amen? Glory to God. And it keeps expanding, keeps growing. Praise God. More churches in, what's the name of this county? Cattaraugus County. You guys have some interesting counties up here, let me tell you. Cattaraugus County. All right. Praise the Lord. So there will be more churches. Amen. Hallelujah. And Western New York's really going to be impacted with the Word of God, starting anyway, in Western New York. And so we'll see how far God goes and where he plants. Amen. Hallelujah. But he's got a plan. And it will come to pass. Hallelujah. And you have a part in it. Amen? We have a part in it. We all have a part in it. Because the whole body of Christ is fitly joined together by that which every joint supplies. Amen? We need you to be strong. We need you to be strong. We know you want to be strong. But we need you to be strong. I need you. You need me. Amen? And so if we're all strong in the faith, if we're all doing our part, we can do more together. Amen? You can survive. The church can survive without you. Let me say it that way. The church can survive without one of you as an individual person. If you leave, if you go somewhere else, if you're out of the will of God and you leave, I'll say it that way. Because I can't imagine where else God would plant you, honestly, in this area. I mean, just what's going on. Amen? So let me say, if you left out of the will of God, the church would survive without you. It would. But you would not survive without the church. We see it time and time and time again. It's not to control people. It's not to say that every person who leaves is out of the will of God, all right? I joked about it in a sense a moment ago. And it's not to say that you can't leave of your own free will. That's not a cult. Amen. This is not, you know, some sort of weird thing going on here. But we do know that when God plants people in the body of Christ, it's for your growth and for your benefit and for your good. Amen. When people leave, most of the time when people leave a church, it's because they've been offended or they've been hurt. It's been some misunderstanding usually that causes hurt. It's hardly ever something that once the truth is known that it was a legitimate offense. Amen. I'm telling you from 30 some years experience. Amen. And so we've seen people leave churches and they say, well, the Lord led me out, and usually he led them out because they were offended. God doesn't lead with offense. Amen. He intends to heal and for things. So if you've been hurt, if you've been offended, if you're wary of some things because of past experiences and you're a little guarded because of it, listen, there's healing. God wants healing. God wants to restore your relationship and a proper and good relationship with a church and with a pastor. Amen. He doesn't want people hurt. I know there have been horrible things that have happened in the guise of church happenings. It's true. I know. But the real truth about it is God wants restoration and he wants people to not be hurt. Amen. And so there is a safety here. What happens though, and what I said was, the church will survive when somebody leaves, but you won't survive without the church, meaning this: your body can live without a hand, but your hand can't live without your body. Amen. And we're a body. And so it's not that we're trying to hold something over someone and say, oh, you're just going to die if you leave our church. It's not a controlling, are you hearing me? It's not a controlling thing. It's a, we don't want you to wither. We don't want you to lose what God has for you. And where God's supply is where there's safety in numbers and you're not isolated by yourself. He loves you too much for you to just be on your own. He loves you way, way, way too much. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let that get into your heart tonight. Don't let it pass you. That's specific. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I won't embarrass anybody, but I know who that's for. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for ministering what we need. God, heal. Jesus, you are the healer. Oh, Father, I thank you for healing broken hearts. Even right now, by the Holy Ghost, by your anointing, minister to that hurting heart right now, in Jesus' name. Help them see. Oh, help them see right now, Jesus. We ask it. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We need you. We need you. Glory to God. You're needed. You're needed. There's a place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. God loves you too much. God loves you too much, sweetheart. He loves you too much. Doesn't want to leave you alone. There's a place for you. There's a place for you. Hallelujah. Come on, family. Let's just love right now. In Jesus' name, I minister God's healing power to this heart. Now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Don't mean to embarrass you. Just want to love you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We you bless you. We build you up. Oh, God, thank you for your mercy, your goodness, the comfort of the Holy Ghost right now coming to my sister. In Jesus' name, be healed, honey. Be healed in Jesus' name. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Stretch out your hands. Let's supply what we have. Oh, God doesn't want anybody hurting. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, be glorified in this house right now. If for no other thing but that, we thank you for restoration. In Jesus' name. Oh, Rebecca, Shore, Mangre, Dibisi, Namanjolo, Rebese. Ella Brando, Robocoste, we bless you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness tonight. We surrender to you, each and every one of us. Father, forgive us if we've ever said anything or done anything that was misunderstood or hurt another person. We don't want to do it. Help us each, Lord. Focus our attention on the right things and the right way to do things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift up our hands and just let's give Him glory. We give you glory, Lord. We give you glory. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Oh, thank you for the love of God in this house tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't Jesus good? Amen. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. You know, a real shepherd will leave the 99 and go after one. He'll do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Let's just wait in His presence. Let's just let Him do it. Let's just let Him minister to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name tonight. We bless your name tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for knitting us together. Thank you, Lord, for placing us, fitting us together like that puzzle we talked about yesterday. Everybody's got a fit. Everybody's got a place. Everybody's got a place. We thank you, Lord, for filling this church with those people who fit, who need our supply, and who have a supply to give. Lord, you know who's supposed to be here. So we call them. We open our hearts to them. We welcome them here. Hallelujah. This church is a refuge. It is a refuge. A light in a dark place. Father, may all of our hearts turn to those who are hurting, need you. May our focus not just be on our needs only and what we can get out of church, but may our focus, Lord, be on the harvest. For the fields are white unto harvest, but people need to know that they're loved and welcomed. Help us. Teach us. Teach us how to be that place. Hallelujah. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have you found Matthew chapter 4? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, you're so good. So good. So good. Hallelujah. God wants us to be harvest-minded always. Amen. Everybody say always. Always. Here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it says this in the King James. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That sounds pretty strong. But another translation says it this way: change your attitude, change your actions, for an invasion of the Spirit is imminent. Change your attitude, change your actions, for an invasion of the Spirit is imminent. Change your attitude, change your actions, for an invasion of the Spirit is imminent. In other words, God wants to confirm, God wants to do, God wants to demonstrate some things. That's the kingdom of heaven. He said it's imminent. Hallelujah. God wants to do some things, work some things, move in some areas. He wants to catapult. He wants to move us, launch us. Amen. Hallelujah. An invasion of the Spirit is imminent, but he said, change your attitude, change your actions. What does that mean? You've got to be willing to change how you look at things. Amen. We as a body of Christ have been focused on our own needs for a very long time. Focused on our issues. It's very easy to be focused on our issues. After all, they're important. Amen. That putting food on your table is important. Paying your bills is important. Your own physical body is important. Amen. All of those things. That's why he said in 3 John verse 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers." He wants us to prosper and to be in health. Why? We need you to be strong. Amen. Why do we need you to be strong? Because we're fitly joined together. And we don't want to be only as strong as our weakest link. Amen. How many of you realize that in your own natural body, even though some parts of your body are far away from other parts, for example, when you stub your toe, how many of you know it comes out of your mouth? Isn't that right? Why? It's all connected. It's all connected. You can't just stub your toe and go, "Get over it. Don't mess with the rest of me. We don't have time for you. Just, you know, go off by yourself and get over it." That's not going to happen. Isn't that right? I had something some time ago, I don't even remember what it was, something with my foot. And it was hard to walk on it. So I got one of our golf clubs, got a putter, and that was my cane. I was getting around the house with a putter. You know, I turned it upside down, and I was using it as a cane to get around my house so I didn't have to hop. And I tell you, my whole body knew what was going on. My whole body rallied and helped, didn't it? Your body does the same thing. No matter what's going on, the rest of your body, even if you're not aware of what your body is doing, it rallies at a weak point. It doesn't isolate and forget about it. Your body goes into action to give aid to the weak point. So we need you to be strong, and we want to rally around you to help you get there. Amen. Praise God. And so we need to learn. I want to be strong so I can rally to help you. I want to be strong so I can hold my weight. I can do my part. Amen? So that something else doesn't have to kick in because I'm not doing my part. Right? When there are deficiencies in the natural body, the body will find a way to get around it. We don't want to do that in the body of Christ. We all want to do our part. So he says here, for God to really be able to do some things, we all need to change our own attitude and change our own actions and what? Get out of ourselves and get out of just that tunnel vision of thinking only of ourselves. And realize that everything we do affects other people. Everything. Amen? He said, change your attitude. Change your actions, for an invasion of the Spirit is imminent. God wants to do some things in these last days. He wants to demonstrate some things. Amen? How many of you know there is going to be, and we're starting into, and we're experiencing some things, but how many of you know that we're going to see a greater outpouring before Jesus returns? Amen? Or before we're caught away, really? Isn't that right? We're going to see some greater things. But how many of you know how those things are going to happen? God's not going to do it without people. He can't do it by himself. He has to use people because we're his body. He's the head and we're the body. So everything Jesus did with his physical body on the earth when he walked around on the earth, he has to use his body on the earth now. We're his hands. We're his feet. We're his mouthpiece. We are the ones carrying out those things that God wants to demonstrate to the earth. So we're going to have to change our attitude and think, I don't have any of my needs met. I gotta do this. I got to do that before I can do anything for God. You can do things for God right now. Before your finances are 100%. Before your physical body is where you want it to be. You can do things for God now. Amen? This is why we're saying God wants to do life with us. He wants to be in every part of our life. Look with me, if you would, to Romans. Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. Starting in verse 16. The Spirit itself, better translation would be himself. He's not an it. Amen. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Come on, say we're the children of God. We are the children of God. And if children, he said, then heirs. Heirs, praise God, of God and joint heirs with Christ. Amen. Joint heir gets the same benefit. Amen. We don't get less benefits than Jesus himself. We have joint, equal benefit. Joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon, sounds southern, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. A manifestation of the sons of God. We're the children of God, right? So we are the sons of God. What son of God do you know of already? Jesus, right? Jesus, at some point, had to manifest, didn't he? He had to manifest. Now, he was born in a manger, we know that. As a child, the Bible says he grew and he got favor with God and man. At one point, when he was 12 years old, you know, he was in the temple when his parents lost him, right? Didn't know where he was. And he was like, why are you so surprised I'm here? Didn't you know I'd be about my father's business? Are you kidding me? Did you not know I'd be here? Where do you think I'd be, playing baseball? I got stuff to do. I got things to learn. I got things to do. He knew who he was, didn't he? Jesus knew. He found himself in Scripture. He found himself. All the things about him, he found himself in Scripture. Glory to God, because there's word for everything he did. Glory to God. So he knew who he was, but he still didn't manifest until it was time. There was a time for him to manifest. He was baptized by John with water, right? And when that happened, then the heaven opened up. And he was not only baptized in water, but he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God came upon him, didn't he? God spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son." And it was from that time forward that things changed. Isn't that right? The Bible says he went forth then with power after the Holy Ghost came on him. Amen. Then we find him. You don't have to turn there, but in John chapter 2, we find the first miracle that Jesus was ever involved with. And it said there that there they were at this wedding, and his mother said to him, "They're out of wine." Now, why is she talking to him about the wine? He's not in charge of the feast. He's got no title at this. He's just attending. He's just minding his own business. He's just a citizen. Right? Attending a wedding. And Mary says to him, "They're out of wine." And he says, "What are you talking to me about it for?" What did he say? "My hour has not yet come." Meaning, I know I'm on God's timetable and I will be in the right place at the right time every time. Amen. Amen? But now think about Mary. She knew something was up. Didn't she? She's known for 30 years. She knew from the moment Jesus was conceived that he was the Son of God. Yet he had not manifested. Nobody else knew he was the Son of God. She knew, he knew, his father knew. Amen. John the Baptist knew. God revealed it to whom he would reveal it to. Amen. But now he hadn't manifested. What's the difference? The manifesting is actually then doing it. Amen? Being there, being available, manifesting. It wasn't until that. So Mary says, this is up. Something's up. Something's up. You can imagine her thinking for 30 years, I wonder when it's going to manifest. Wonder when everybody else will know what I know. Right? Jesus said, "My hour hasn't come yet," but it had come within, same day. So she wasn't far off, was she? Right? She knew something was up. She just couldn't really pinpoint the moment. So there should be a stirring in a Christian's heart. Something's up. Why? You're a son of God. And sons of God know the voice of their father. Isn't that right? And so if we're obedient and yielded to the voice of our father, then we will manifest when he wants us to manifest. Amen? So Jesus didn't manifest until his hour had come. Of course, then you know the rest of the event. He told the servants to fill up the water pots, so on, and then the water became wine, right? Glory to God. Awesome. And the Bible calls it the beginning of miracles. The beginning of miracles. And the beginning of miracles, you see in that first miracle, Jesus didn't go abracadabra over the water. He just used people. Jesus didn't fill up the water pots. Jesus didn't serve it to the governor of the feast. Jesus, all he did was tell people what to do. Are you here? All he did was tell people what to do. Everybody did their part and miracles happened. He didn't say, listen, guys, fill up the water pots and I'm going to turn them into wine. He didn't even tell them what he was doing, did he? Just fill up the water pots. Yes, sir, we'll do that. That's what we do. We're servants. That's what we do. We do what we're told. Right? Fill up the water pots. Okay, got it done. Now what? They didn't go, well, we got to fill up the water pots again. What good is this going to do? We're not out of water. Water we got plenty of. Just put them in the pots. And people are constantly questioning God. What does this mean? What is this for? He'll go, I'll tell you when you need to know. You'll learn to walk by faith. You'll learn to just be led by the Holy Ghost. If you'll learn to just listen, I'll tell you what, his children know his voice. Glory to God. Children and heirs, joint heirs with Jesus, we have the same standing. Amen. So the miracles happen when people just did what Jesus told them to do. He never told them what the result was going to be. Did he? Fill the water pots. Yes, sir. Okay, now, draw some of that out and go give it to the governor of the feast. Yes, sir. Somewhere between dipping water and serving it, it changed because the governor of the feast said, this is delicious wine. Where did it come from? Right? And nobody went, Jesus, you look what you did. The servant, the Bible says the servants knew what happened. They're probably going, I'm not telling anybody what just happened. This is just weird. Yeah. Nobody went and worshiped Jesus for it. But that's the first day he manifested. Not a big announcement, right? Not a big to-do, not a big pageant. Just at a wedding, being a blessing to people in their need. His first miracle wasn't healing a blind person. His first miracle wasn't healing someone who was lame. His first miracle was just being a blessing to the people around him. That's when he manifested. Now look at verse 19 again. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Here's another translation. The New Living says this. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. All of creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. When is that day going to be? When we all go to heaven? And God will go, look, those were my kids. Is that going to bless anybody? Is that going to bless anybody when we're all gone and everybody goes, oh, they were Christians? Did that help mankind at all? All of a sudden, your next door neighbor's gone. Oh, they must have been a Christian. I never knew. Is that a blessing? Is all creation waiting for that day when we're all gone? I don't think that's what it's talking about. They're waiting for us to manifest. They're waiting for us to show the love of God. They're waiting for us to demonstrate God on the earth. What's it going to look like? Filling up a water pot. It's going to look like an ordinary thing. You may not even know what's on the other side of it. But just being willing, listen very carefully, just being willing to be interrupted in your day-to-day affairs. Interrupted. With what? People. Those pesky people. If it wasn't for people, I could just have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus is all about people. All about people. always thinking about people. He was on his way to an important person's house one day. His name was Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue. And his little daughter was at home, really at the point of death. On her deathbed, Jesus said, "I'll come and heal her." He said, "Only believe, she'll live." And on his way there, another person comes up and touches Jesus' clothes. Jesus felt power go out of him. He stops and says, "Who touched my clothes?" Mark chapter 5 tells a great account. Jesus said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, can you put yourself in Jairus' position now? We don't have time. No time for this. Jesus, don't talk to her. Please don't talk to her. Please, 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 please don't talk to her. Jesus is going, somebody just got power. Who was it? Who got it? Right? The Bible says the woman said, "That was me," and she told him all the truth. Okay, now that's going to take a while. Why? 12 years she's been dealing with this. You know she didn't just say, "I said if I could just touch your clothes, I'd be whole, and thank you, I did it. Bye-bye." Because Mark says she told him all the truth. She's going back to day one when it started and all the things in between, because you know how we like to tell the story. Right? She told him all the truth. Imagine Jairus is going, "Oh, come on, Jesus, come on. Get to the bottom line. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on." People come from Jairus' house saying, "Sorry, it's too late. It's too late." Jairus' heart, can only imagine. And Jesus is probably still listening to the woman, right? He hears these other guys going, "Don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead." And Jesus is going, to the lady, right? And then he says to Jairus, he's like, "Hey, come here, come here, come here. Don't worry. Only believe. And? I want to get all this because your faith got something from me. And you needed something. And you took it. And I'm so happy you were blessed. Okay, Jairus, let's go." Willing to be interrupted by someone with a need. Why? Because there's plenty of supply. Amen. Because if you give, what happens? It'll be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You take some moments of your time with people. It'll not be time you can't get back. God will see to it you've got plenty of time for everything else. Now, don't take your employer's time. Be a good steward. Amen. Be a good testimony. Be a good example. Right? But if there are people at your work in your influence, just realize that those people are not in your influence just 9 to 5. We think, "Well, I only see them at work, therefore I'm going to have to take an hour of my employer's time that he's paying me for to minister to this person." Now you're going to have a bad taste in your employer's mouth, right? Because you're wasting my time trying to witness to this person, and I'm paying you. That's not fair. But you can say, "Wait, I have a relationship with this person that I work with. We can connect after work. We can talk on the telephone." Right? Why? Because this person's in my life. Are you with me? This is manifesting as the Son of God. Manifest. We need to change our attitude, change our actions to be a manifestation of God on the earth. That's what we're designed to do, to be interrupted by people. People are not a distraction. They're our purpose. Amen. So how are we going to change our attitude? Look with me to Matthew chapter 6, if you would. Matthew chapter 6. People want a real experience. with God. Amen. People are looking for a real experience with God. They don't know it, but that's what they're looking for. They're looking for what fulfills them, because there's a place in every person that's made for God. Amen. God created us for fellowship with Him. And until you find that place, you'll be dissatisfied. And you'll look for it in other places. You'll look for it in hobbies, and you'll look for it in sports, or you'll look for it in people, or you'll look for it in something else, something to satisfy you, something to build you up, something to make you feel good. People are looking for all of those external things, not knowing what they're really looking for is God. I sat on a plane with a young man last Christmas, and Kevin and I had gotten bumped up to first class. And so we were sitting not together. We were in two separate places on the plane. And when I sat down, I recognized the young man that I sat down next to, and he's an Olympic ice skater. And I thought, well, praise God, I've been bumped up to first class. God must have a plan for him today. Amen. I'm going to take this as a godly distraction right here, a godly interruption. Praise God. And I thought I recognized him, so I Googled him real quick on my phone. You know, so I would know his name, and I could ask him, you know, are you so-and-so? And he said, yes, I am. I said, well, it's so nice to meet you. And we chatted for a few moments, you know. What I know of this young man, he is very open about, because he's been on television programs and celebrity things and all that kind of stuff. And so I thought, okay, Lord, I just need a door. I just need an opportunity, what we're looking for, here's the bottom line, a conversation. A conversation. How do we manifest? In words. Just be willing to have a conversation with another person. Jesus stopped in John chapter 4, stopped at a well one day. His disciples went into town. A lady came to draw water, and he said, could you give me some of that water? She said, are you talking to me? Why are you talking to me? Jews don't talk to Samaritans. Men don't talk to women. What's going on? What's up? And he said this, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for something. You'd ask me for something. And I'd give you what you're really looking for. Right? It's just a conversation. He started really just talking about water with her, because that's what she was there for. He didn't see a woman come to the well and go, you've had five husbands. The one you're with is not your husband now. I know you're in sin. We need to talk. Tell you, if that's your approach, it's not going to work very well. No, he's going, what you got there? Oh, you're getting water. Could you get me some? Why are you talking to me? Well, if you knew who you were talking to, you might ask me a few things. Want to talk? Why don't you go get your husband? We'll talk about it. Well, I don't have one. I know. But now her heart's open, see? Now she's not offended. Now she's not, you know, already guarded. But she's open. Here's a man talking to me about what I'm interested in. It's just a conversation. Amen? I'll get back to that young man on the plane. Another time we were on a plane. I like getting bumped up to first class, because you never know who you're going to sit next to. We sat down. Kevin and I were... Again, we love getting bumped up. It's a fun thing. Anyway, so I get in and I sit next to this man, and Kevin's right behind him, and we're sitting down. And this man, come to find out, he's like a bazillionaire, right? And he didn't mind telling you. So, but he's a very strong Catholic man, and he didn't mind telling me that either. And so we talked, and I told him, you know, I was in the ministry, and he says, oh, you love Jesus? I said, absolutely, I do. And he said, so what kind of minister are you? Are you a Methodist? Are you this? Are you that? I said, well, no, we're non-denominational. He goes, oh, you hate Catholics. And I said, no, sir, I don't hate Catholics. I said, non-denominational, we love everybody. We love everybody. Absolutely. We don't hate Catholics. Are you kidding? You know, so he, you know, had this whole conversation. Well, we didn't really have a conversation. He pretty much did all the talking. And he talked and talked and talked. And I'd try to, you know, jump in there a little bit and help his heart, you know, kind of steer him in this direction or this direction. Because he really had a heart to know Jesus. And he told me about this priest that he met in Rome that he said, boy, he just had such a relationship with Jesus. He says, I'll just never be able to have a relationship like that. And so I'd get in there and I'd go, you know what you told me is you admired this man's relationship with Jesus. I said, you can have that relationship with Jesus. And I just kept trying to steer it back like that, you know, just a conversation. Not, Mary's wrong. No, that's not going to get me anywhere. You're wrong about Mary. No, that's not going to help anybody. Amen. What's going to help him is find where his heart is. What's his heart looking for? I can help you find what your heart is looking for. Let's go there. And at one point, you know, I told him, I said, my husband's sitting right behind you. And he goes, Kevin, because I told him his name. He goes, I should have let you sit up here by your wife. I'm having this great conversation with your wife. Because he's real loud. Everybody in first class here and everything he said. And Kevin goes, yeah. He said, if I were you, I'd do more listening and less talking. He said, she's got a lot of great things to say. And that's what Jesus was telling that woman. He said, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for something. I kept wanting to say, if you knew who you were talking to, I could really help you. Right? So back to this young man sitting on the plane that day. We got talking. I said, Lord, what can we talk about? What can we talk about that I can introduce him to you today? Somehow. And so the Lord led me. We got to talking about music because he's an ice skater, right? We got to talking about music. What kind of music do you like? What do you like to skate to? Some, you know, that kind of thing. I told him there was a song I love that I think somebody should skate to. And it's on Kevin's CD. And so we talked about that a little bit. And then I got in talking to, you know, then he said, well, what do you do? So I said, well, I'm a minister. And he goes, oh, I'm not very religious. Thinking that was the end of the conversation. And I said, well, oh, I'm not either. And he said, what? I said, I'm not religious either. And he said, I thought you said you were a minister. I said, oh, yeah, I am, but I'm not religious. I said, I don't like religion at all. So now he's interested. Because he's like, wait, I don't like it. You don't like it. Let's talk. Right? I said, religion separates people from God. They always put God way up here and people way down here, and God doesn't care what we're going through. It was Christmas time. I said, the reason God sent his son, Jesus, and I gave him basically the story that God wanted a connection with people. I said, every person has a place in them that only God will fill. And he said, I've never heard it like that. And I said, well, now you have. And that was pretty much the end of that conversation. But it was a conversation that went into somebody's heart, that God can water the seed and send laborers. I've prayed for him since that God would send laborers to him. Amen? Not to judge him, but to love him. Amen? God can deal with everything else. Amen? That's not my place. My place is to introduce him to Jesus and show him there's somebody who loves him. Amen? That's our job, is to introduce people to the one who loves us. He loves us. Listen, when you talk to folks, when you talk to people, you don't have to clean up their whole life in one conversation. That's God's job in time. And it takes time. It takes time because it's a relationship with God. Right? We just want to introduce them to the one who loves them more than anybody else ever could and who accepts them. Amen. And then the word gets in and the word cleans us up and we renew our minds and things just take time. Amen. Hallelujah. But we want to introduce them to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Where did we go? Matthew chapter 6. So if we're about kingdom business, if we believe that an invasion of the Spirit is imminent, we've got to prepare our hearts. Amen. And think not just about our stuff and be so consumed that our relationship with God is about me and my stuff. Because a lot of people, their only real relationship with God is concerning me and my stuff. Because we found out that he supplies all our needs. Glory to God. That he heals our body. Praise the Lord. Now I can know God so that I can be healthy and I can be wealthy. But what's the purpose of you being healthy and wealthy? We need you to be strong. Why? Because you're part of the body of Christ. Why? Because the body of Christ needs to manifest as the Son of God on the earth. That's why you need to be healthy. That's why you need to be wealthy. It doesn't end with your needs being met and you being healthy. It ends with, that's what makes you strong. Amen. So what did he say here? Look what he said. Are you ready for this? Look at verse 25. This is probably one of the wildest things Jesus ever said. Verse 25, Matthew chapter 6. Take no thought for your life. I'm sorry. I think that's hilarious. If I said that in any other building but this one, you would think it was funny. But we're in church, and so this sounds normal. And it's in red in my Bible, which means Jesus said it. So if Jesus said it, it must be true. But we sit in church and we hear words like that. Take no thought for your life. And we go, amen, pastor. That's right. We are not to take any thought for our lives. But then what are you doing at your kitchen table? Did you remember what pastor said on Sunday? Take no thought for your life. Now you're going, where is this going to come from? Where am I? How am I going to pay my bills? What are we going to do? He actually said, take no thought for your life. Oh, what are we supposed to do? A couple of verses before, he said this. Or verse before. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and love the other, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And now what he's saying here is you can't serve God and the world. Money is the world. The money, because money is the highest power the world has. Right? That's their highest form of power. It's the lowest form of power for a believer. And notice he didn't say you can't serve God and the devil. He said you can't serve God and money. He's more concerned about you serving money than he is serving the devil. You can't serve God and the world system. In other words, thinking so much the way the world thinks and still be focused on what he wants us thinking on. So then he said, therefore, take no thought for your life. So he's going to explain a few things. Let's go on. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they are? He said, look at the birds. They don't sow or reap, but I take care of them. What's he saying? You get to sow and reap. He says, why are you serving money and serving the world's system and trying to get ahead the world's way? You've got sowing and reaping. You've got a supernatural system to tap into. Why are you trusting so much in your efforts? You get to sow and reap. You get to tap into my system for increase. So quit taking thought for how you're going to get it all done. You got sowing and reaping? Keep going with that. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment, what you're going to put on? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. So he said, look around you. I mean, you drive through this area of the country, it's absolutely beautiful. Look at the fields, right? They don't even have a job. He said, they toil not. neither do they spin, but I clothe them. You get to work. Get to. You get to. Absolutely. What does that mean? That means you get to use your job, amen, to advance if you want to. You can get a better education, get a different job. You're not stuck. This isn't, we're not in a system that you only have a certain allotment for you. Amen. You might say, well, I'm on a fixed income. I've heard other ministers say it this way. Who fixed it? Who fixed it? You got sowing and reaping. Yeah, but I'm on a fixed income. Well, you can sow and reap because he multiplies back. He doesn't just give you back even. Right? Even on a fixed income, you can increase. Amen. That's why it said, take no thought for your life. Wherefore, verse 30, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little what? Faith. So he said, you get to sow and reap, you get to work, and you've got faith. Why do we trust in the world system if we get to sow and reap, we get to work, and we've got faith? Therefore, he just explained. Since I've explained it to you, he said, therefore, take no thought. The Amplified says, take no anxious thought, saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Right? At the kitchen table. Because this isn't just for in here. This is for when you're at your kitchen table. For after all these things, what things? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? What are we going to eat? Where are we going to live? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. One translation said this. These are the kinds of things that people who don't know God keep thinking about and saying. I don't want to be in a category of people who don't know God. He said, why are you so concerned about the things that people who don't even know me are concerned about? They're concerned about their stuff. Why? They don't know me. That's what he's saying. Why are they so concerned about what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, where they're going to live? Because they don't know me. That's why they're so concerned. They don't know me. But you know me. Isn't that what he's saying? So if you know me, don't serve me and the world. Serve me. I will take care of you. You've got sowing and reaping. You've got your faith. You've got a job. You're not stuck. Amen? So how are we going to do it? Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. He knows we need the things. He's not discounting the fact that we need the things. What he's saying is quit thinking so much about the things. What we've done, so many of us in the body of Christ, is all the things that we need, that's the only time we go to God when we need the things. So now we're using God to get the things. And that's the only time we pray, when we need the things. God, I need you. What? My body? Oh, okay. I'll help you. God, I need you. What's up? Finances. Okay, I'll help you. Remember last night, Kevin was talking about how the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, God kept giving them provisional miracles because they were in a place where there wasn't anything. Is that right? They were in the desert. They were in the wilderness. God provided manna. He provided quails. He provided the water out of the rock. He gave them a shadow for the daytime. He gave them fire at night. He gave them everything they needed that wasn't there. Right? But when they got into the promised land, they didn't have a pillar of fire anymore. They didn't have the cloud by day anymore. They didn't have manna anymore. They didn't have a miracle of quails anymore. They got a place where they could sow and reap. They got a place where they could put their hand to something, and God said, I'll bless it. But he still said, trust me. Right? Right? But where have we been? We've been in that place of we think we're in the wilderness for some reason. God, I need you. What? My rent's due. Where's it going to come from? He said, have you been sowing and reaping? Well, I didn't have enough to do that. Oh, so you don't really trust me. Back to all in, right? Have you been sowing and reaping? Well, I don't have enough to do that, Lord. Who told you? Who told you you don't have enough? Wasn't me. It's like in the garden. Adam and Eve hid. God said, where are you? Because we hid, because we were naked. He said, who told you? God said, who told you you were naked? Is that not an obvious question? He said, who told you you were naked? He said, you've always been naked. You never even talked about it before. Now you're all upset about it. Who told you you were naked? God, oh, the devil told you, this is wrong now. This is totally wrong. We're naked now. This isn't right. So you're saying, God, I need finances. Who told you you didn't have enough? I said I'd supply all your need according to my riches and glory. How am I going to do it? Sowing and reaping. Why take ye thought for these things? These are the things that people who don't know God keep thinking about and saying. After all these things do the Gentiles seek for. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. He knows you need them. He just doesn't want your mind on them all the time. And that you're consumed with just that thing. He wants you thinking about people. Not your stuff. But seek first. Everybody say first. Seek first. Notice he didn't even say seek only. He just said seek first. There's a first, there's a second. You're going to work, you got to put your mind on that. Right? You got to put your efforts on some things. You got to focus on some things. He's not saying going like this all day long. Jesus, what do you want me to do? Go to work. Right? No, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these what? Things. What things? The things you were thinking so much about. All these things will be added unto you. I'll see to it that the things come. But put me first. Instead of the things first, if I have time, Lord, then I'll think about your stuff. No, his first. His stuff first. That's why we said change our attitude, change our actions, for an invasion of the Spirit is imminent. Think about his stuff first. And the things get added. What would his stuff be? People. 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 But we've got to be willing to be interrupted. Amen? Amen? Going about our day, it's not just scheduling God first. 6:30 a.m., God time. That's my God time. After that, my time. No, 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 no. 24 hours, God time. Why? We have a relationship. He can talk to me any time of the day. I can be sitting in first class, and God said, I'd like to talk to that person next to you, but they don't know how to do that. Could you help me? I'd really like to talk to them, but they don't know me. Could you talk to them for me? Well, God, what would they think of me? I don't really care. I don't really care what they think of you. I really care what they think of me. And I'd like to be introduced. Would you introduce me to them? Would you plant a seed so they'll start thinking about me? Because if they'll start thinking about me, then other people can start talking to them too, and then the door's open, see? But they don't even know they're supposed to be thinking about me. So would you help me? God, I'm a little tired today. I don't really want to talk to anybody. Okay. He won't make you do it. But if you'll do that, just fill up the water pots. Who knows what blinded eyes will be opened at your hands. But you know, the first miracle you do isn't going to be opening blinded eyes. The first miracle you do is going to be running down the aisle. When you don't know, what's this for? I don't know. But I felt like he told me to do it. Awesome. Awesome. Because when you do that and you yield to the voice of God on the inside of you, just doing something as simple as that in a safe place like this where nobody's going to laugh at you, just whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And you go, wow, I did something God told me to do. It is the most awesome feeling, isn't it, Pastor? When you do something God tells you to do and you're like, there's just a satisfaction that is amazing. You're like, wow, I did it. Why? I don't know, but I did it and it feels awesome. Then when he tells you to talk to a person, you're like, I know that voice. I know that voice. It's the same one that told me to run. And I know, even if I'm uncomfortable about it right now, I know I'm going to feel awesome afterwards for having done what God asked me to do. Pastor said he would not have been able to sleep last night if he hadn't done that. Why? Because he knows the voice of God. We can all know that voice the same way. Real quickly, let's close with this. 1 Kings chapter 3. Are you getting something tonight? I trust you are. How's this church going to grow? Pastor's going to go knock on doors? Let me let you in on a little farming here. A little animal husbandry, if you will. How many of you realize that the pastor, God calls him, the Bible calls him a shepherd? Isn't that right? What would that make us? Sheep. For sheep to reproduce, who gets involved in that? Sheep. Sheep, it's not a true question. Sheep reproduce sheep. Isn't that right? What's the shepherd's job? To feed you so that you're strong enough to reproduce. Isn't that right? It's not his job to go find people to come to this church. Right? And you know, it's not your job to go find people to come to this church. It's your job to have a conversation with people, love them enough to introduce them to Jesus. And your relationship with them over the course of time, they'll want to be here where you are. Invite them. Amen. Get them saved. Then invite them. Don't just go, boy, that person really needs to be saved. Come to my church. Why would they want to? Why would they want to come to church? Have you been to church lately? Not this one? Right? Their thought of church is not someplace they want to be. Because most of the churches they've been to, if they've been to any, I was not going to say that. What I was going to say was, a lot of churches aren't filled with a lot of revelation, really, of a real growing relationship with Jesus, a personal relationship with Jesus. A lot of them are religious. And so people have been turned off by that. They feel condemned when they go to church. They don't feel loved. So just inviting them to church, you know how good it is. But if you say come to church, they're like, I don't ever want to talk to you again. Don't talk to me about church. Matter of fact, don't even talk about God because I know that's going to mean invite me to church. Let's don't talk about church. Let's talk about Jesus. We're not trying to get them to be church members. We're trying to introduce them to Jesus. Introduce somebody to Jesus, then they'll want to be where other people who love Jesus are. Right? We kind of just come at it sometimes the wrong side. We got to change our attitude, change our actions, because this church will be filled by love. Love's what draws people, and love's what leads people to repentance. Amen? So you love people enough to be involved in their life, then it doesn't have to take a long time, but don't be concerned about time. Amen? Some people take longer than others. So just be willing to stay with them. Stay open. Stay in their life. be a manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. First, I got to stop. 1 Kings chapter 3. Thank you for having us, Pastor. Thank you for opening this house. Glory to God. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Wouldn't you like that dream? God said, "What do you want? Whatever it is, you ask. What do you want?" And Solomon said, "You have showed mercy unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made me, thy servant, king, instead of David my father. And I'm but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." He says, "I don't know what I'm doing. And your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore," this is what he's asking for, "give therefore your servant an understanding heart to judge your people." God, I want to help people. God says, "What do you want? Anything you want. What do you want? Just ask me. Just ask me." He said, "I want to help people. Can you help me with that? I don't know what I'm doing. I've been made king. I'm still a kid. I don't know what I'm doing. That I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked for the life of thine enemies, but have asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." Wow. Nobody before you or after you is going to be as smart as you are. "And," everybody say "and." "And I have also given thee that which you have not asked." Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. "Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. And I have given thee that which you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen your days." Glory to God. Solomon was all about helping people. What do we know about him? He was wiser than anybody and richer than anybody. Why? Because he loved people. We can't serve God and the world. How do we serve God? Love people. Be willing to be interrupted by people. Be willing to be interrupted by relationships. Let God use you to love people. Set your antenna, your spiritual antenna, when you're around people. Not how can I tell them about Jesus, but how can I just have a conversation with a person who will let me have an entrance into their heart. It may turn to a conversation about Jesus. It may not the first time. Don't be pressured by thinking, "I have to witness, I have to witness, I have to witness." No, you have to love people. Because loving people will lead you to witness. Right? Loving people will lead you into a conversation. A conversation is just a conversation. If it doesn't go there, it doesn't go there. But your heart was ready. You were willing. Isn't that right? Next time you see them, "Hey, good to see you again." Now you got another door. Love people. Tough job. But Jesus demonstrated it better than anyone else. Just willing to be interrupted. Amen. Why don't you bow your heads with me today? Father God, thank you for your word tonight. For this church, we're catapulting to the next place. We're launching to the next place. You're pulling us up. Our businesses are changing. Our personal lives are changing. Things are happening and getting rearranged so that we can change our attitude and change our actions, because we believe there's an invasion of the Spirit. that is imminent. And Father God, for us to go to the next level, we got to go your way. So Father, I ask right now, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, that you will imprint this message on our heart. Help us to recognize opportunities to love people. Help us to recognize opportunities to minister to those you love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And even now, while your head is bowed and your eyes closed, I believe the Holy Ghost, even right now, is putting somebody on your heart. Somebody you've been meant to talk to. Somebody you've been meant to be an influence in their life. There's somebody that immediately pops to mind, and really it's popping into your heart. Just be open to that next conversation. Just be open to that next conversation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And let the anointing, let the love of God come out of you and into them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I minister God's peace to you right now in Jesus' name. The anointing that destroys every yoke, every anxiety, every worry, every fear. Let the power of God come. Relax and rest in his presence. Hide his word in your heart. Let it come out of your mouth. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you will find strength. You will find it. You are not weak. You are strong in him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You can open up your eyes. Glory to God. Can we lift up our hands and just thank him tonight for his word? Thank him for his goodness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You do all things well. Thank you for encouraging us, strengthening us, and building us up tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.